Listen carefully. When God closes the door, look up. Look upward. In other words, when God closes the door, get over it. Because there's something greater. He's going to take you to a higher level of faith. And it may be that you're looking too low. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, what? Get up. Take your mat and go home. And he got up. There you see that. Up again. Get up.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We all experience disappointments in life, shattered dreams, plans that fall apart, and we're left wondering where God is in all of this. If that sounds like the story of your life, Pastor Wayne has some encouraging words for you. Here he is with the conclusion of a message entitled, When Disappointment Changes Your Plans.
You see, God doesn't preempt disappointments. He follows them up. But it says they were hungry and thirsty. Their souls fainted within them. Now continue with me. Would you please go? Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them from their... Yeah. When did God deliver them? When they cried out to the Lord. We learn to cry out. Oh, there's going to be hurts. Oh, absolutely. I've felt them. You have too. But would you write this down somewhere? God never wastes a hurt. God never wastes a hurt. He will use it for his glory. Sometimes you might feel that you're right in the midst of one of these disappointments. I want you to stay in the faith and not get bitter, because God's going to use it as an ingredient for your good. Now, I want you to hear this very carefully. Those of you that have received Christ as Lord and Savior, because you're a child of God, he's going to treat you differently from those that don't know him. In fact, the book of Corinthians says it this way. It says, the natural man does not understand the things of the Spirit of God. They are foolishness to him. But you, because you have the Spirit of God within you, he's opened your mind to understand the things of God, and he's going to actually work with you differently, and the promises of God will come to pass, like Romans 8:28, that he's going to work all things together for to those that love God and are the called according to his purpose. You see that? So those that love God and are the called according to his purpose, he's going to actually work the promises of God for your good. But those are two prerequisites. So when you come to know Christ, he's going to treat you differently. Now, what I mean is this. When you come to Christ, nothing in life happens to you. They happen for you. When you come to Christ, nothing in life just happens to you. It happens for you. Can you see God's involvement now? It's happening for you. Because he's going to work with you differently. Nothing in life happens to you. It happens for you. And God will not allow a difficulty to come into your life unless he can somehow use it for your good. And you may not understand why it happens, but God's going to use it for your good. That's what Romans 8:28 says. And he welcomes you to the first classroom of disappointment, where we will learn to cry out to God, because it positions, it postures our heart to be receptive to what God's going to do and bring a promise to pass. If you feel stuck today, I want you to re-examine your heart, maybe what you're holding on to, unforgiveness, pride, a life that says, I'm just going to do it on my own. Or maybe it's time for us to cry out to God, to ask him for help, to loosen our grip in needing to control everything. Sometimes what we think is disappointment is God's appointment. You've made an appointment with God, and he's positioning us for a brand new level of faith. But it begins with a lonely place called disappointment. But it's then that we cry out to God, and that's when he begins to move. Yet those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. They will run and not be weary. They will walk and not faint. God sometimes brings us to a point where our hearts are malleable, soft, moldable, adjustable, maybe even reprovable. But he has to bring us to that point of loneliness so that when we cry out to God, there's an amazing receptivity that wasn't there prior to the disappointment. Do you understand? It's not that God loves disappointments, but he loves what it can cause us to become if we will suffer the right way. Let those who suffer according to the will of God keep entrusting their souls to him who judges righteously by doing what is right. So God speaks to us. One of the things in this classroom of disappointment, not only does he teach us to cry out to God rather than going into a cocoon, the second thing that this classroom of disappointment teaches us is it teaches us to raise the tide of our spirit. To raise the tide of our spirit. It brings me to a story in the New Testament when four men had a friend that was a paralytic. You remember that in Mark? And this man needed to get to Jesus, but he couldn't on his own. He's a paralytic. So four men put him on a stretcher, a gurney, and take him there. But when they get to the front door of this house, it's packed with people. They're disappointed, discouraged. They can't get him to Jesus after this long haul with their paralytic friend. So instead of sitting there disappointed and discouraged, they figure out something better. And they go upward. Listen very carefully. There's going to be times God's going to close the door, and maybe it's you're looking too low because they look up. And they get this paralytic on the roof, and they make a door on the roof. Now, I don't know about you, but I'm trying to think how in the world you're going to get a paralytic on a roof. I think they duct taped him to the gurney, and they had to pull him up with a rope. And I don't know if you're that paralytic going, dude, I don't like this. You put me down. And they're going to get him to Jesus. And they get him to the Lord. And this is an amazing story. We're going to read it together. Are you ready? It's going to come up on the board. Would you read it? Go. Some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by four of them. Since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. And when Jesus saw their what?
Faith.
Not their stupidity, not their bolster bullying, not their brashness. No, he saw their
faith.
Listen carefully. Each of us need four friends like that. That went, because there's going to be days you can't get to Jesus, no matter how hard you try. You could be paralyzed by fear, maybe doubt, maybe anger, maybe lust. You need four friends that love Jesus and you in that order. Because if they love you more than Jesus, you're going to just have a gang. But if they love Jesus and you, and you're not able to get to Jesus, they will duct tape you to a stretcher and get you there. You could be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and you just pray for four friends to go in you and grab you by the hair. Get out of that bar. Get out of that girl's house. Well, we're just fellowshipping. Shut up. They're going to pull you in, put you in the car, and if you don't get in the car, we're going to punch you. Poof. Get you. We're going to take you to Jesus. You need Jesus. We need four friends like that. And when you come to a point of disappointment, we can't get in through this door, it's crowded, they will find a way to get you to Jesus. Listen carefully. When God closes the door, look up. Look upward. In other words, when God closes the door, get over it. Because there's something greater. He's going to take you to a higher level of faith. And it may be that you're looking too low. And God's going to raise the tide of your spirit. Let's continue. He says here, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, what? Read it with me. Get up. take your mat and go home. And he got up. There you see that. Up again. Get up. Took his mat and walked out in the full view of them all. This amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Man, I love this. When God closes the door, you may have to change your plans. And maybe it's just simply because you're at the wrong level. You're seeing something here when he wants you to go up. He wants you to get over it. There's a new level of faith that God wants you to move to. So he's going to bring a disappointment so that you recognize, I've been seeing things in the wrong, at the wrong level. For how long? Years. Isn't it time we move to a higher level of faith? Amen. And the only entry to that is disappointment. It's a classroom of disappointment. Let me kind of draw this out for you. I'm from Hawaii, and we boat or surf a lot. And let's say in Hawaii, you're going to have like the ocean here. Nice, placid ocean. Looks so beautiful. And the problem, though, is if you have a boat and the boat has a hull that goes down like this, the sail here and the person there, and so he's going this way. That looks fine. But what if this is only 3 feet deep? You're going to have coral heads. You're going to have rocks. You're going to have stuff all over. And when this boat runs into that, even though it looks like it's placid here, because the tide is low, it's going to destroy this boat. So we take a look at this and say, wow, look at all of this stuff right under the surface of the water. Man, this is terrible. We got to get rid of those things. All of these disappointments here. Why, we have my neighbor that's a terrible person. His dog barks. He's not a good man. I've got kids. They're strange. We've got a boss that gives me trouble. Man, I tell you, I don't know what we're going to do. So one of the things that we can do is we can actually get an excavator and we can get rid of all of this stuff. I know some of you really want to buy my artwork. I'll let you after the service bid on it, you know, because it's kind of a Rembrandt. But so we can get rid of this, get rid of that neighbor, get rid of that boss, get rid of this thing, get rid of that thing. But you can't do it because that's life. And it's going to cause you a wrecked relationship. But yet, how many of us try to remove the disappointments in life that's right under the surface? Because we see you on that Sunday and everything looks fine on the surface. See at work, everything's fine on the surface. But right under the surface, there's so many disappointments. And we've been trying to get rid of it. And we say, God, help me to get rid of it. Because you see, a lot of times we want God to change the circumstances while we stay the same. We want God to change the circumstances while we stay the same. And God says, no deal. And so instead of trying to get rid of all of these things that are right under the surface, here's what God is saying. The issue is not what's under the surface. The issue is what's above it. It's time for you to raise the tide of your spirit. And even though there's all kinds of stuff down here, you can still sail a boat with a deep hull, and you will still be absolutely fine. Praise the Lord, kind of deal. And you can go through this, and none of these things hinder, stymie, determine your future. You got to raise the tide of your spirit. What does that mean? Let me kind of share with you in closing an illustration where Aaron, my son, was about 3 years old, and And they'd have these knockdown dragouts with my daughter, Amy. And Aaron's only like this big, but at that time, and they would just fight with each other over dumb stuff. Well, this one day, he must have gotten to the worst MMA fight with his sister ever. And so he comes up to me and he's frustrated, he's angry, he's disappointed, he's just filled with revenge. And he came up to me and he starts punching me. Now the kid's only like this, he's punching my leg. I hate her, I hate her, I hate my sister, I hate her, I hate her. Now, he's punching my leg. Now I could have said, you wanna fight? You wanna fight? Come on. I could have done that, but instead I thought, no, this little, you know, pee winkle here, he's hitting my leg like a mosquito. And so what I did was I picked him up, and he's still thrashing around. I didn't lower my spirit. I raised the tide of my spirit. I'm far above his. I can see the tide of his spirit and versus dad's. I picked him up, and he's flailing around. And so I just hugged him and held him close so he couldn't swing. He couldn't kick. And I said, no, you love your sister. I hate her. No, you love her. She loves you. We're all a part of the same family. No, we're not. No, I don't want to be in this family. Yes, you do. You're all right. And he's just fighting. And finally, I felt his body kind of settle down. And then he started to sob. She began to cry. And I said, Dad loves you. You're all right. You're fine. Now, I want you to go, and we're going to sit with your sister, and we're going to talk this through, all right? All right? Okay. And all of a sudden, he became receptive to restoration, because not only did he come to a point of brokenness, there's someone who raised the tide of his spirit so that he could bring that peace. There's some of you that are emerging leaders, some of you that are dads and moms. And the problem isn't beneath the surface. The problem's above the surface. It's that we get to raise the tide of our spirit. You're always going to have people that are naysayers, haters, people that are bullies, people that say things that are like, what are they saying that for? That's cruel. Yep. Raise the tide of your spirit and say, they must be hurting. There's an immaturity there. Maybe they don't know Jesus. Maybe they're just mad at the world. Raise the tide of your spirit. And when you do, God will bring peace through you and calm through you. It's a classroom. We don't learn these things until we hit a point of disappointment and we think we can either lower ourselves to that or we can raise the tide of our spirit and everything changes. You watch Jesus when he came to the earth. He raised the tide of his spirit above the demons and the Pharisees and the Sadducees and those that hated him and wanted to murder him. And through that, God brought redemption to us. He held us close even when we flailed and were hateful and wanted to kill. He embraced you. He embraced me until our hearts said, okay. And then redemption and wholeness came. That's what he does. He's going to use disappointments. And God will never let anything touch your life unless he can see that it could be used for good. Because when you come to know Jesus, nothing happens to you anymore. It happens for you. Because God knows. And God notices every disappointment. He'll never waste a hurt. Nothing takes God by surprise. You're one of his chosen people. Remember that. And he'll never let anything touch you unless he can use it for likeness.
We are victorious, glorious. Let the church arise. We are victorious, glorious. Bride of Christ, we shine. Oh,
You've been listening to a message entitled, When Disappointment Changes Your Plans, by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. Thank you for listening.
Because when you come to know Jesus, nothing happens to you anymore. It happens for you. Because God knows, and God notices every disappointment. He'll never waste a hurt. Nothing takes God by surprise. You're one of His chosen people. Remember that. And He'll never let anything touch you unless He can use it for likeness.
For Pastor Wayne and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.